Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Moving into the 2 p.m. hour on your beautiful Sunday. Well, it's a beautiful Sunday if you look outside and partake in some of the autumnal joys of the region of New England. If you are hyper-focused on the New England Patriots and their lackluster efforts across the pond this morning, it may not be such a beautiful Sunday as well, which is why one in many of you are lined up right now here to talk with your old pals Fitzy and Hart and producer Joe Braverman on the Six Rings postgame show. Back to the back to the phones we go. I'm all worked up.
You're all choked up. Before you go to the phones, I did want to add a flair from our UK Pats fans friends over there. I've gotten multiple tweets that said in warm-ups, Jalen Polk was dropping the easiest of easy throws. So if you believe he's sort of just in a weird world right now, like he's needs a break, needs to get away, apparently in warm-ups, he's not even capable of catching the football. So I think he just needs a timeout.
The only thing he's good at is catching heat for not holding on to the damn ball, man.
No, he just needs to. We all sometimes get into a place
in our
mentally
head. Fit.
Yes, yes. Call it yips, call it slump, call it, you know, anxiety, whatever.
What do you call the yips for if you can't catch anything?
The yips. The dropsies. You've got the dropsies.
I like that, dropsies.
Andy, you've coached enough youth sports.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Yeah, time for Coach's Corner now, brought to you by absolutely nobody. The one thing I always tell my kids is, if I can see that you're thinking, then you're not playing. You know what I mean? Like, if you're aiming, you're not pitching.
Right.
If you're thinking, you're not like you're not in the moment, like you haven't developed the comfort with your role, your job, your skills, the game plan. And I can see, and it's that moment's hesitation that an opponent, whether they're a running back, a wide receiver, a cornerback, whatever, can always seize upon and take advantage of. Now, I don't know if you've got Jalen Polk could be caught in thought. I don't know what's going on with the rest of all these guys. Looks like we got a nice game out there right now, by the way, in Minnesota. 14-10 Lions over the Vikes. See, that's a good football game. I miss good football. Anyway.
Same.
I just needed to say that. I think a lot of people would say something similar as well. Polk is probably doing too much thinking. I think your plan of sitting him down for a game, just a healthy scratch, DNPM next week. I don't care who you put in his place. Call up Hartley Dyke, see if he's available. Maybe Irving Fryer still in the region. Josh Boyce, he'll take the call.
Well,
whatever.
You do have Baker and Thornton, who, well, what is it you'd say you guys do around here? Because you're just inactive.
Tyquan Thornton doesn't get open, but I don't think he's got the same kind of hands that poor Jalen Polk does at this point. You got to do something. And, like, did you see Jerod Mayo making a lot of bold choices with the, like, shaking up the roster? Like,
no.
Ooh, he sat somewhat for a series or a set of downs.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Get out of here. It looked like the same team to me, too.
And it has to, because he doesn't have many options. I actually heard Curran talking about this pregame, and I think he was right. With the way this team is constructed and they're scuffling, you got to kind of put your best players out there. You don't have a lot of options to turn to. Hell, some places on defense and on the offensive line, you're already down to the second or third backup. Like, how many guys are you going to bench? You're going to bench Mike Onwenu to prove a point, you know, even though he's not playing well? I mean, what point does that prove?
Holy Hades, you don't even have a left tackle. You don't have a spare right tackle. By the way, your feeling on Brian Thomas Jr. cooking Gonzo on that beautifully thrown 58-yarder from Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Because I look at that
plays
and say,
happen, right?
That is a top 5 to 10 receiver for the next 10 years. Sometimes they get paid too, right? Whatever cliche you want to throw in there. And you also know that I didn't think Gonzo was this shut down, no one's ever going to complete passes on him type of corner. I think he's a really good young corner that is gaining experience, that is going in the right direction. He is one of two building blocks you have right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You got Drake May and you got Christian Gonzalez. Everything else is up for debate. I'd like to have Barmore. Well, you know, you got to start somewhere. And to be honest, starting with what you hope is a Pro Bowl quarterback and what you hope is a Pro Bowl corner, there's worse places to start. I mean, it's not like they have a – hell, we used to think that the special teams was the only thing that was good, the punter and the kicker and those types of things. At least now you got two marquee positions where you have marquee young players, number 0 and number 10. Now we just need 51 more.
That's all we need. Just give me 51 more, and we should.
Seems easy.
All right. Let's see. Down to the South Coast we go. Steve is in Fall River, old friend of the show, and especially Mr. Hart. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Andy, you said after you heard Gerard Mayo's comments about being soft, can they just turn it around? You ask questions like, can they just turn it on? Are they just not talented? I say to you, if you're 1-6, you're not a tough team. Of course you're soft. I say if you're 1-6, you're not talented. It goes without saying. I had people telling all offseason, well, they got a top 5 or top 10 defense. Like, wait a minute. They had 4 wins last year. How can you have a top 5 defense with 4 wins? Then I had to hear the litany of stats. They were this and that. They were 7th in this. They were that and this. No. You have 4 wins. You have top nothing. None of your units are top. If you have 4 wins, there's a reason you have 4 wins. Getting back to this guy talking
but it wasn't
about
the defense.
The 90...
Wait, Steve, hang on a second. You can have a top 5 defense. And by the way, top 5 defense
you can
in
have
what?
A top 5
yards,
defense
points,
and be
whatever.
And have 4 wins. Can't
absolutely.
Happen.
When you're
can't
losing happen. Games 6-3 no and 10-6, you absolutely can have a good
when
defense in a bad
them?
Team. Right? Absolutely.
Okay, but you can also agree that the other team, if they're up on you, doesn't do things in the fourth quarter. I mean, there's things that happen in a game. You're not. They didn't just. I know that the offense was worse than the defense last year. I will admit that.
Significantly.
But I think we can agree that we overestimate how good the defense was going to be. Keeping in mind, we've
I didn't. If you listen to me all summer, me all summer, I was worried about the defense. I thought people were whistling past
right.
the graveyard of the defense.
And then we lose the best guy in the first level, Bob, and the best guy in the second
yep.
level, Bentley.
Mm. Yep.
So that never helps.
Right.
So okay, we are where we are. You had the guy call in about 2 number one picks. He forgot one. They had another number one pick on Drew Bledsoe's offensive line, Eugene Chung. No relation to the other Chung that came in. They had 3 number one picks. They still started 1-11. Your offensive line is a problem, but it's not. You're not getting made or broken by your offensive line to be 1-whatever. You've got multiple problems all across the board, and Gerard Mayo said it. We're soft everywhere. When you're 31st or 28th or 31st in the league in spending, you're holding $50 million against the cap that you haven't spent. You're in a rebuild, but you've kept the same front office who obviously picked you, Tyquan Thornton, and these other stiffs, and now you wonder why you've got this other guy who can't catch a pass? It's not a rebuild. It's a phony rebuild.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks very much. That was actually one of Steve's more succinct calls, I would say, Andy. Like, I don't, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean.
You had to push back a little bit on something.
A little bit on the defense.
But I didn't mind that. He just was, you know, he may not have heard every episode of Six Rings or all the shows, but
among Steve's calls, that was one of the better. But I would say this seems to be getting a lot of traction. I know my afternoon show co-host Christian Arcand feels this. Like, this isn't a rebuild. They're not doing the rebuild thing. They kept too much of this. They didn't aggressively get mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, rebuilds are multi-step plans. They take a long... True rebuilds. If you're just transitioning or kind of rebooting on the side, like, that's different. This was a true rebuild. They had a bad football team with bad drafts, bad talent, bad coach. Like, there were things they needed to get past, and they're not going to do it all in one offseason. You can criticize keeping Wolf and Groh and all these guys if you want. That's fine, but they chose a certain approach. They liked certain people. They wanted the Patriot way, but a modern version of it, right? Like, they wanted to keep some, but tweak it and make it work in 2024 and beyond. And they may be dead wrong. Maybe Elliott mm-hmm. Wolf stinks. Because Elliott Wolf, other than Drake May right now, has way more questions than answers what he did last offseason, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
If I'm Elliott Wolf, I want everybody to talk about Drake May and the number 3 pick and pretty much ignore everything else I did in free agency and the draft, because the rest of it kind of stinks. And I think it's very fair. Like, I'm optimistic because I think they're going to be aggressive in free agency, and I think they're going to have the opportunities to be aggressive in the draft and do a lot of good things. But if you don't trust Elliott Wolf, this offseason is going to be scary.
Nothing's happened that's bad yet.
Oh, yeah, lots has happened that's bad yet. You thought Chukwuma Okorafor was a starting
yeah.
offensive lineman. You put together one of the worst offensive lines and then tried to pretend that it wasn't bad and tell us it was fine. If you don't trust Elliott Wolf and you don't trust Gerard Mayo, then this offseason is scary to be a Patriots fan, because you think they're going to waste $130 million and maybe the number 1 overall pick. And that's bad, because if they waste that, now you really are in a a dryer, just tumbling around, suck fest, suck fest, suck fest, year after year.
In doing my due diligence and homework for the program today, taking a look at available free agents along the offensive line, among other places, got to tell you, it's not exactly like the 2025 free agency class is bumper crop for what the Patriots need. It ain't great.
Well, right.
I mean, it ain't great.
There's, I think Ronnie Stanley's going to be available. He's older. Like, there's not.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
Oh, yeah. No, there is not an obvious young left tackle. You know why? They don't get to free agency. When you get a good one, like Rashawn Slater or Christian Darrisaw, like some of these guys, when teams decide they have one, they usually work pretty hard to keep them. It's mediocrity that makes the market. Now, T. Higgins might get available, so you may be able to hit the wide receiver game and maybe just focus on the draft for the tackle, because that's where everybody's getting him, right? Joe Alt. You wanted Joe Alt? Okay, well, let's just hope Will Campbell
sure
is the next Joe Alt, right? You get him, you move forward.
I would also like to point out that if the New England Patriots are looking, you know what, actually, I'll save this for after we talk to Sham, because we are, sadly, we are now in draft talk season in mid to late October. This is just reality, folks. We are not forcing a narrative on you. We are not fake taking our way to ratings or at least the deadline on our program. And yes, there will be some football for you later. We'll have some Rams, Raiders. We'll have some 4 o'clock action. All the good stuff that you're going to want to listen to after the postgame show will be right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. But this is just the reality of where this team is and what we have to look to. And if they're not even able to help draw out more of the positives in the game of Drake May, and they're going to subject us to this, whew, from now until early January, it's going to be a long ride. Let's at least try to divine some of the positives from today. After we do a little sports news update action, we will get in touch with Chris Scheim for this week's installment of the Drake May Report Card. 617-779-7937 is the number if you would like to weigh in and vent your Foxborough frustration and feelings. But in the interim, let's at least try to make you a smarter sports fan with trending sports news delivered by Joe Braverman.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Different country, same result for the Patriots as they drop their sixth straight game to the Jaguars, 32-16 in London. The defense struggled yet again. They allowed 364 total yards of offense to Jacksonville. This includes 118 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns to Tank Bigsby, who was getting the start for Travis Etienne. Drake May played well in his second start. He finished 26 of 37, 276 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, was sacked twice. He also rushed for a team-high 18 yards on 3 attempts. The Pats are now 1-6. They will come home, then get ready for a divisional showdown with the New York Jets next Sunday from Gillette Stadium. Some other games going on in the NFL for Week 7. The Texans are facing the Packers, and the Packers are on top 14-13 with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. We also have the Lions taking on the Vikings, and the Lions just intercepted Sam Darnold. They lead 14-10 with under 3 minutes in the first half. Later on today in the 4 o'clock slate, it's a Super Bowl rematch as the Chiefs square off with the 49ers from Levi's Stadium. You can also, in that 4 o'clock window, catch the Raiders facing the Rams right here on 93.7 WEFM following 6 rings. The Sunday slate wraps up tonight with the aforementioned Jets taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football also here beginning at 7:30. The Yankees await their opponent for the World Series after clinching the pennant over the Guardians last night. Game 6 of the NLCS will take place tonight from Dodger Stadium. LA could clinch it over the Mets. They lead the series 3-2. First pitch is at 8:08. The Bruins lost to Utah in OT last night 2-1. They'll end their road trip Tuesday in Nashville against the Predators. And a new AP Top 25 is out. Oregon is the new number one team after Texas lost last night to Georgia. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
He's right there. He's their favorite red zone target.
May swings it out. That's Jamichael Hasty making a cut inside the 10, inside the 5, and he has a touchdown. Jamichael Hasty with just his second catch of the year, and it leads to the Patriots' first opening drive touchdown of the season.
That was back when there was actually something called, what was that? What do you call that word? Oh, hope. That's right. Patriots went up 7-0 on a well-executed opening drive, beautifully scripted. even better executed. Good times for all. We were super excited. We thought we were going to get the high-scoring affair that we wanted, deserved, and needed. And maybe, just maybe, whether it be in victory or defeat, we would be talking about progress, growth, and development that we needed from our team on the whole and at least our quarterback. I think we saw a little more progress from our quarterback today. But here now is our resident Drake May Whisperer with the second installment of the Drake May Report Card, joining us on the hotline right now. The one and only Primetime Shime Time himself from the Greg Hill Morning Show and the WEEI Evening Program and some Saturdays with his old pal Fitzy. It's Chris Shime. Shime, how are we feeling? Let me ask you this. Did the Patriots play poorly enough that it detracted from Drake May's effort overall today?
I think so. I think for a lot of people it did. For me personally, I thought Drake played really well. But I have no doubt that there are going to be a lot of people today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week who are going to be upset with the performance because of how poorly the rest of the team played.
So, Shime, what did you like about your boy Drake today?
I thought Drake cut it loose a lot. I was pretty happy with it overall. He had a really good rhythm, especially early in the game. I mean, there's a reason they went up 10-0 right away. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed. But AVP immediately went away from everything he was doing successfully in the first quarter and a half and just started running the ball on first down again. It was like we went back to the Jacoby Brissett offense. It felt like two completely different offenses. But I felt like Drake did a really good job overall managing the game. There were two passes that stand out that were just outright bad passes. It was that one crossover over the middle of the field, and then that throw to Hooper by the end zone. And I wasn't sure if Hooper ran the wrong route, if Drake just made a bad throw, if we're supposed to sit there. I'm not really sure. I got to go back and watch that and see exactly what happened there. But those were the two really bad throws that stood out. Outside of that, though, he wasn't sailing passes like he did early in that first game. He looked crisp. He looked confident. He was changing protections at the line. He was seeing the blitz pretty well. I felt like overall Drake had a really, really good day seeing the field.
Yeah, and then it seemed later as the day progressed, there was pressure up the gut at times. We were talking about Mike Onwenu, who's just having a brutal season, getting knocked around, getting beat by Josh Allen, Joshua Hines Allen, however you want to call it. No, actually, he got beat by Walker, excuse me, later in the game. I thought May looked very comfortable as well. To me, Shime, when I see May out there right now, the way he's moving, the way he's seeing the field, changing protections, right now the game doesn't look too big for him. The problem is that, as we've said a million times, but we're just going to have to keep saying it until the situation changes, the cast they have surrounded him with is just ghastly. And I don't see how he can... He's going to be strapped into doing basically this, an optimal situation of 240, two touchdowns, and a pick with this surrounding cast right now, this supporting cast, because the opponents are only going to get tougher. This was when you were supposed to let him ball out, as we talked about yesterday, against the worst freaking pass defense in the NFL. And it's just so frustrating.
It's unbelievably frustrating, and I think more so than even – that's the thing. I feel like Drake is elevating the people around him. Maybe not Jalen Polk, who just can't catch a cold, but everybody else, it feels like Drake is elevating around him, except his play caller. So one person he can't elevate, because those first two drives were awesome. You start with pass plays right away. Drake scrambles on the first drive. The second drive, they get a defensive offside right away, and they're starting on first and five, basically. And it's like, okay, here we go. Everything's fine. And then the third drive, you come out and you run. You get a DPI call that gives you a first down right away. And I was like, yeah, let's run the ball here on first down, negative 1 yards. And you immediately put your quarterback in a crappy situation. And then you dial up on second and long the tight end screen, which Van Pelt needs to throw in the trash and burn it, because he's tried it now four straight weeks in a row and it hasn't worked. So I feel like Drake was as good as you could ask of someone whose play caller wasn't helping him at all. You can put out the budget receivers and the budget offensive line, and the kids still play as well. It's simply just the offensive coordinator he cannot overcome.
Shime, what have you thought of the way Drake May has handled himself over the last week plus with the media? You know, he had the little thing with the MRI, and then he kind of deflected, went old school. We don't talk about injuries around here. Today he's dealing with tough questions, I feel like, in terms of He started fast. He played pretty well. Everything else stunk, so he has to walk that fine line. He also has to deal with Jalen Polk and questions about him. How have you felt he's done in the – because that's a big part of being the quarterback position, right? Like being a spokesman and being a leader.
Yeah, 100%. And I think he's handling it the best he can for right now. Look, I don't think it's great, but I also don't think he's handling it horribly, right? He is not doing what the defense is doing and throwing each other under the bus, which is good. But he's also not – I don't think he is comfortable being, like, you know, the outright spokesman for this team yet. I think that's one of the things he has to learn to do and learn to be better at. I think right now he's kind of playing into that dumb 22-year-old kind of, like, outlook on life a little bit and kind of using that to his advantage, which I think works for periods of time. But then there comes a point where it's like, all right, dude, you're the quarterback of an NFL franchise. You have to step up and really, like, demand accountability from everybody. But at the same time, like, it's really, like you said, Andy, a fine line to walk there, because I don't want him to look like the defense calling players out, but at the same time, he needs to be a little bit more outspoken. And it's hard to ask him too much of him, because, again, it's his second career start. But, like, you're right. He does need to be a little bit more outspoken on kind of everything, like how bad the offense is. He needs to be more direct about it, whether it's – even if it's not necessarily with the media, like, he needs to be more direct about it with Mayo and Van Pelt, because I don't think – just from what I see on the field, it doesn't feel like what he's good at, what he's comfortable with, is being taken into account.
Chris Scheim from The Morning Show here at WEEI and various other day and evening parts joining us on the Six Rings Postgame Show with this week's edition of the Drake May Report Card. Now, you think he needs to be a bit more outspoken, a little bit more assertive. He obviously is an instant leader on the team. That's just by nature of the quarterback position. And he seems to have the right kind of demeanor to shake off even the most disappointing of second halves or efforts like today's game. But what do you think of just sort of like looking broader view in terms of things that are keeping Drake May down or prohibiting him from being able to ascend or take a next step? What do you think of Mayo's comments on saying that the team is soft, Scheim? Like, I don't think Drake May is soft by any stretch, but this team is soft, and now you've got defenders calling each other out, saying that people are basically freelancing, you know, quitting on the team and playing their own game.
Yeah, I think this entire team is soft as baby poop. Like, I kind of incorporate Drake in that a little bit. Like, dude, I get it. You're a 22-year-old quarterback, but again, you're the quarterback of an NFL franchise. Like, I think you need a little bit of snarl. What he's doing is he's just putting his head down and kind of trying to play as best he can, but I think he needs a little bit of snarl. And not like the Mac Jones douchiness. He needs to be I need more energy, I think is kind of the word I'm looking for, right? It's like, and I'm not, I hate to be critical of my guy, but it's the truth. Like, it's like, this team needs a leader. The head coach is not being the leader. The captains of this team are falling by the wayside due to injuries or being cut or whatever and aren't being leaders. Like, someone needs to step up. And I know he likes to lead a lot more with a quiet confidence and kind of a everybody loves me, almost Gronk-esque personality. But sometimes it calls for a little bit more than that. And maybe he needs to lead with a little bit more snarl. And because he seems to be the only one out there that's playing his ass off or trying his ass off. He's doing everything he can. Hunter Henry had a good day today. I felt like, but outside of the fact that he had some untimely penalties, he had a good day receiving. But like nobody else is really, I feel like a lot of them are just laying down. And so maybe he needs to be the one to step up and really take command.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and obviously that was an issue going back into the summer. There was some talk that the team wanted him to be a little bit more aggressive in the competition with Jacoby Brissett, not so deferential to the veteran. And I think that's a, you know, we used it earlier, fine line. It's a fine line to walk. Are you going to be an a-hole? Like, do you know your role as a rookie? But also, you're the starting quarterback of the team, so I don't really care what your experience level says or your birth certificate says. You have to be a leader, and the other aspect of that is I've always said every position, every level, to be a great leader, you can't be afraid to be an a-hole. You can't be afraid to kick somebody in the ass, right, and talk to them in a way that is probably not what they want to hear, whether it's Jalen Polk, whether it's the offensive line. He needs to realize, I think, sooner rather than later, he's the quarterback of this football team. That said, I think we are making it quite clear that He likes to throw the ball down the field, and he likes to throw the ball down the field to Kayshon Booty. And just those throws over the last 2 weeks right there, for me, is something this team can build on.
I couldn't agree more, Eddie. I'm kind of curious why they don't attack Booty more, right? He only had two targets in the game.
Attack the
one
booty.
One of which was a third. Yeah, literally, like grab that booty and take it
grab
for a ride,
it.
Baby. Like he is kicking ass every time that ball comes his way. He's trying to make a play. I think one target was just uncatchable. I think it was like a skied over his head, and then the other one was a dime to him that he made a great catch on for a 33-yard completion. So, like, I guess I don't understand why we're trying to force feed a guy like Jalen Polk, who claims he has the best hands in football, and then drops three passes that are in his hands, and then like all these passes to Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper seems like a nice guy. I don't need you throwing the ball to Austin Hooper. I also don't need all these two tight end sets. Give me three receiver sets. Let the kid spread them and shred them. That's what he is so successful at. I mean, you look at him, when you put him in tempo and those two-minute drills, like, he moves the ball every time. And yet, what do? We sit there in 12 personnel. We want to run the football at a single back with two tight ends. And we're not even running it strong. Like, it's just, it's gross. It's gross.
Yeah, it's bad. And look, you've been on AVP for a while now, Shime, and he's getting, as I'm sure you've probably seen, he's absolutely getting it handed to him on social media today. Just for the general level of play calling throughout the majority of the game, and for the tease of, hey, this is what the offense can look like in tempo when we kind of spread it out a little bit and keep it working. And this is what we're going to look like when we just go back to, like, it was like a, this is your brain and this is your brain on really, really lousy drugs. It's a shame. And the thing is, we talked again, like I said at the top of the spot here, we talked about the fact that this was probably the showcase game for the offense in general and for Drake May. Who is Drake May going to possibly have a chance to, like, really? I know he threw three touchdowns last week against a tough defense in the Texans, although Green Bay seems to be moving the ball pretty easily against them today as well. Who's Drake May going to have another coming out party against this season? Like, the schedule only gets tougher.
Well, so I think there's more opportunities for Drake to have success here, right? I mean, like, you're going to get the Titans, the Rams. You're going to get the Dolphins again. There's going to be other opportunities here for him to have success. And again, he had success against Houston. I think he can have success against good teams. The bigger issue is your defense can't stop a nosebleed. So if he's playing down 10, down 14 every time, what the hell is he supposed to do? Like, you can only do so much, especially with an offense with as limited weapons as he has. So it's like I saw the first quarter and a half of this game, and I go, wow, there's the offense we need. That's the offense we want. And then they just went away from it. And I don't understand why. I don't understand what the mentality is. I mean, come on now. A minute, 30 seconds left. You've just allowed a bunch of points going into halftime. And you run the ball on first down without even trying to get a chunk play. Like, what are we doing? What kind of – like, it's just so soft. I think the coaching staff – Gerard Mayo says the team is soft. He's soft. Like, what are you doing going out there running the ball on first down with a minute, 30 down – what was it, 10, 12 going into the half? Like, come on. What are we thinking here? And so I think it's just the entire franchise seems soft as can be to me.
So, Shime, you led me in the direction I wanted to go. I've begun asking the question. It's premature and it's disrespectful, but it is what it is. I asked both Giardi and Curran this question and got very different answers. What do you think the chances are Alex Van Pelt is the play caller and offensive coordinator for this football team in 2025?
Yeah, so I heard both those answers, and Giardi's is very interesting to me. I would have put my number somewhere around 70% leading into this game. After this game, it would probably come down closer to where Giardi's at that 40%, but still like a 50-50 chance.
Yep.
It's disgusting. The only thing I think AVP has going for him is that he's Elliott Wolf's guy. So until you fire Elliott Wolf, I feel like Alex Van Pelt won't lose his job, and that's a shame. Because he has not done anything to keep this job. And honestly, as much as the owner may love Gerard Mayo, he has not done a damn thing to hold on to this job through 7 weeks of the football season either.
All right, Chime, so let's wrap it with a grade. Last week in his debut in Foxborough against the Texans, you and I were in lockstep. We gave Drake May a solid B, and not just like an 83, like an 86, almost 87, close to a B+. What grade will you give him for his second effort as the starting quarterback of the Patriots, today's defeat at the hands of the Jags?
Yeah, you didn't even come close to winning the football game, so that makes it so you cannot get an A in my book, not even an A-minus. That's how it works. Unfortunately, though, you only had the ball for 8.5 minutes in the second half, so you really didn't get to do a whole lot there. I'm going to give him an 87, slightly better than last week, because I think he was better than last week. I think he deserves that credit. But just, again, you were, unfortunately, a lot of that ending of the game yardage numbers were just garbage. It was... You weren't competitive. It wasn't in competitive time. And you're just kind of padding the yardage number stat. I did think the touchdowns were great throws. I think he had a lot more of those signature throws this week than last week, which is why I'm going to give him the better grade. But I cannot give him an A or an A minus because, again, you lost by 16. I'm not going to hand out free grades just because I like you.
He is one of the producers on the Greg Hill Morning Show. He'll be part of tomorrow's programming on a football Patriots Monday here on WEEI. I get the pleasure of doing radio with him on Thursdays and some Saturdays as well. Give him a follow at Chime Time. Chime Time, thanks for checking in, buddy, with the Drake May Report Card. Please go purge yourself of all these Patriots sins and enjoy the rest of the day. Steak, IPA, and whatever else glorious you can get your hands on.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a good one.
You're the best, my guy. There was Chris Scheim with this week's installment of the Drake May Report Card. 617-779-7937. When we come back, Andy and I will take a quick look at whatever else is going on in the NFL today. There was an unfortunate injury in Cleveland where it may actually be addition by subtraction for the Browns as well. Plus, we'll take a look at some other fun games, you know, fun football games, because they're actually happening elsewhere. Then we'll get back and wrap Pats when we get to the 3 o'clock hour. It's Fitzy, it's Hart, it's Braverman, it's you. It's the Six Rings Postgame Show live on EEI.
And it's a run for Gibbs against the pressure, and he bangs it in for a touchdown. His second of the day.
Jahmyr Gibbs, star running back, part of one of the best backfield tandems in the NFL, along with David Montgomery. Two rushing touchdowns in the first half, having himself a day as the Detroit Lions are battling for the top spot in the National Football Conference and the title of Super Bowl favorite. Oh, look at that, Amari Cooper, first game for the Buffalo Bills, first touchdown in front of the Bills Mafia as the Bills take the lead right now. Detroit's up 21-10 right now. Hey, Andy, how come we can't get one of those fancy receivers in a trade to help our young quarterback?
It's coming. Just bide your time. There's a fancy receiver coming, I promise you. I'm staying optimistic, Fitzy. I'm not being the negative one on this show. You're going to be the negative one.
No, he just ran a simple 10-yard post, beat his man. That was nice. It was an easy pitch and catch.
I'll answer the question, Fitzy. It's because the two guys that they tried to bring in told them to their face, no.
That's a good point. And they offered them a lot of money. So there is that, too. And they did offer them a lot of money, like a lot of money.
Now, one of them, I think the old thank God for unanswered prayers, the Calvin Ridley thing. The Brandon Ayuk, I know a lot of Patriots fans have been trying to watch some Niners, and maybe they'll watch him this afternoon. Tom Brady really rounding into form if you read published reports about his job at Fox, but he'll have that.
Rounding into form? Are you kidding?
Yeah, they're putting lipstick on a pig. He's I don't think he plays out that contract.
If the NFL, Fox, everyone could come together. I mean, if he's literally now bigger than the Shield, I mean, the man is a living legend, and I refuse to criticize anything he ever did, especially with the New England Patriots. That being said, you can't tell me he can do a fair, critical, and appropriately analytical job. He can't be honest as a broadcaster if he spends the majority of the time worried about what he's saying and who it's going to affect.
Right. And it's, you know, guys need to pick a lane. Like post-playing career. If you remember, there was a weird period of time where Deion Sanders worked for the NFL Network, CBS. He was doing pre-draft training for players, and it was like, which lane you want to be in? Do you want to be media? That's fine if you want to be or do you want to work with young players and develop young players and coach? And he picked that lane. And now he's at Colorado, and whatever you think of him, at least he picked a lane. I agree with you. I think Tom Brady needs to pick a lane, and he kind of picked a lane. He's now an owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. So go be, and by all accounts, I know a lot of people are like, they're going to draft a quarterback and he's going to be involved with helping to mold a franchise quarterback. Okay, that's fine. Get off my TV screen. I don't want to hear you anymore because I think you're biased.
Yeah. You can't go into other facilities. You can't attend all the meetings. You can't do all the things that the got me feeling nicies of the world, the Grudens used to do, and all other analyst, like that's what you do. Well, like people have been playing this game for a long time, and it's good the way it is.
The best example I can use of people who say, you know, he's Tom Brady, he doesn't need production meetings, or he doesn't need access to this.
Oh, that's what Schefter said to us last week, and while I appreciate his time, that was an awful comment.
It's stupid. And I'll continue to use the same example. When Tom Brady was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of the game, Chris Collinsworth got that from Tom Brady in a production meeting. He wouldn't have known that. He couldn't have known that had he not had access to that meeting, and that became a big deal. And we learned certain things about that Patriots team and Tom Brady and where his relationship was with the team, right? Like, that was important. That was valuable to the listener and the viewer and the audience. Tom Brady's not getting those, and I don't think Tom Brady really wants those. I think Tom Brady wants the juice of being around a team and being part of a team. Did you see when he got, like, teary-eyed when they introduced him at the Raiders facility?
That video, I got to be honest, that video hurt. Made me nauseous.
Okay, well, I mean, it is what it is. He wasn't going to be with you forever. In fact, he kind of walked out on you a long time ago, so get over it.
But don't you feel, can I just ask you, the audience at large, don't you feel like, look, he's said, I'm Tom Brady, I'm a Patriot forever. Also, you know, don't forget to buy my shirts. And, hey, look, now I work for the Raiders, so just win, baby. And here I am on Fox. And also, I'll be doing this autograph.io session. And yeah. He's all over the, like, it feels just like.
He always has been. But he doesn't know who he truly is.
I feel like there's a little bit of that going on. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I opined in the Sunday 7, like, are we sure the Crafts couldn't have just, like, just a little truffle-sized slice of ownership just to keep him here? He could have, you know, just a figurehead type of thing. Why does he want a piece of the pie for the Raiders? Honestly, I'm just asking out loud. Why do you think he wants a piece of that pie?
Well, I think he kind of stumbled into it with their relationship, and when they were negotiating with him as a player, and then he did the deal with Davis as a part owner. Mm-hmm. And I know Mike Florio is all in that Tom Brady is going to be the controlling owner of the Raiders someday. Like, this is a long-term coup plan.
Controlling
thing.
Owner. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if he, you know, it has some, you know, whisperings of that or if that's just pure speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me. I also think this, and you're not going to want to hear this, and a lot of people, you people listening, aren't going to want to hear this. I think Tom Brady was never all in on New England and Boston, and I just don't think this is him. I think he is glitzier and glamorouslier, or whatever that word
might be. But what if he wasn't always, and he just sort of became that way once he entered the Gisella sphere?
But that happened, and once that happened, mm-hmm. I think you're right. But Robert Kraft couldn't prevent Tom Brady from dating and marrying Gisella. So once that ship sailed, I don't think he wanted to be here really with his full heart. I don't think he was truly invested in being here. I think, you know, the sun and fun of Florida, the sun and fun of Vegas, whatever it may be, I don't think it was ever going to work long term here once he went down that road. And therefore, you know, the Raiders are the place where he landed, and that maybe fits him. Maybe that's just better suited to his personality or what he wants to be in life. And I wish him no ill will. Good luck. Nope. He brought you a lot, and he decided to move on, and he deserves that.
Well, John Elway, like, you know, was part of the success with the Broncos after he played for the Broncos.
Yep. Yep.
It's you know, I mean, people get torn. You know, Colts fans saw Peyton Manning win a championship for them and then one in Denver as well. We saw Brady win one with the Buccaneers. Gross. After he was here to win 6. There's nothing more we can ask the man here. No, he has to carry on with his life. And yeah, we should have bigger fish to fry and other things to emotionally focus on. But all that being said, it just does feel like he's all over the place. And even more so to the point, I just don't think he can do that. He can't be Tom Brady, the baddest MF-er on the planet, or Tom Brady, the goat of color analysis on an NFL broadcast, while he's compromised and has to always be thinking about what he's saying and how that could affect his job as a minority owner of one of the 32 freaking teams. Sorry.
Plus, he's not good at it. I don't. Well, I'm going to watch that again today. He's doing that Chiefs 49ers game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll watch today. But everything I see from him is just, there's not enough there. There just isn't entertainment value. He doesn't lend a lot. I see a lot of wows. Like, wow. That's all you got, Tom? I pay you $30 million to say wow?
Well, wow. It's Brady's wows or Romo's. Oh, gee!
But at least
he's got the best wows in the world.
Romo is unique. He brings a certain energy. I always thought he was overrated and overpaid until I saw Tom Brady, and now I'm like, man, maybe Romo's a little underpaid if that's what $37 million gets you. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy job. I'm not going to pretend it is. I didn't think Joe Thomas was great today. on the NFL Network
broadcast.
Yeah,
he was a little vanilla, but it was hard to hear him over the whole, like, you know, hey, fire AVP, or like, we need a defense that I was listening to.
Yeah, no, I just, it's not an easy job, and I actually don't think it's that important a job. I think you can find guys that do a relatively decent job for just sort of a relatively decent paycheck. I think this whole world has gotten out of whack. But for Tom Brady, the other answer is to why he couldn't be in New England forever. I think there's also, if Florio has an inkling, he wasn't going to get the Patriots. Patriots are going to stay a Kraft family business for the foreseeable future, from Jonathan through Harry through whoever. So, you know, maybe he realized that and was like, I got to look elsewhere if I have these visions of owning an
NFL
team.
Very well may be the case, Andy. That's a very valid point. Like, I think there's a very good chance that he was never going to get it here, so why not look elsewhere where somebody may give you a little more latitude as well? And, you know, then that it also does, you know, by working with another team, it in no way, shape, or form potentially mars or tars or tarnishes his reputation and legacy here, although it's going to be weird. Now, is he allowed to come back here as a Fox broadcaster / minority owner when we have Tom Brady Statue Day?
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
See, I don't know.
I would hope he's there for Statue Day, because otherwise, I mean, you got to have him.
I think he just can't be, like, in the practices or in the team facility.
Right, right.
Are you sure, Braverman?
Yeah, yeah, we'll go with that.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we'll home stretch it here on the Six Rings postgame show. We will get to the Cars for Kids player of the game. Of course, we'll have Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down, and everything else we have not had a chance to cover during this fabulous and fast-flying edition of the Six Rings postgame show, which, of course, has been brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Six Rings, coming back. Home stretch. Don't you go anywhere.
Even a bigger responsibility on our family. And I promise you, we're building something special.
That was Patriots owner Robert Kraft last night in a video taken by our friend Mike Reese from ESPN at the UK Patriots-sponsored Pats fan rally at a lovely and very crowded pub in London, well attended, very mirthful, celebratory. There was singing, chanting, cheering. I heard it was a phenomenal time. And Mr. Kraft did, I believe he did a shot, so he sort of like got down in the trenches with the fans there. Good to see he is a man and fan of the people, Andy. But we're building something special.
It's nice to see him taking a shot with a fan rather than taking a shot by a fan.
Oh, geez, Joe.
And by the way, that was pregame. Yes, definitely was pregame. Everybody was full and happy.
No, that was last night, so everyone was like still like in the mood to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean. Postgame would not have gone well.
No, would not have gone very well.
Yeah, because they're not building anything special after today's performance.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, now how does that sit now that we hear, like, oh, we're building something special, like, not to be that guy, but, like, what's the something special that's getting built? You know what I mean?
The house that may built. Because I will say, I said this, I can't be a fraud. When I heard the press conferences on Friday, that was at Friday at the Harrow School, I had the feels, as you would like to put it. I thought they did a nice job answering those questions about why should fans who haven't picked a team yet pick the Patriots. And both Mayo and May were about, like, we're young and we think we're going places. And Mayo,
first off,
like,
I think it comes in the team name, you know, New England.
Yeah, not that part. Not that part as much. No, more
that
about
part
the
made
young
me
guys.
Laugh. Like, hey,
it was fun. No, that was good. I liked it, but I actually bought the energy of, you know, we're going to do something special and we're young and we're starting that next step and that next era. And then you go out and see it, and you're like, well, Drake, you are, But who's with you? Because you're going streaking by yourself right now. There's nobody following you right now. And that's the problem is it's hard, I think, for fans to see what the future holds right now and for it to be positive.
I think it's a very good point, Andy. I don't know if fans can see their way into whatever this rebuild is. What is the something special that's getting built right now? I mean, you can say like, hey, I like our coach. I like some of the people that are, calling the plays for us. But, I like our quarterback. I think we got a special one with Drake May. After that, what's the something special? I'm just asking aloud. This is just a friend asking a friend who cares about a football team that plays in Foxborough.
This is hard for some fans, certainly. I mean, you have Christian Gonzalez. You have a few other players. There's a handful.
And Barmore, if he behaves himself and comes clear of the blood clot issue, yes.
Sure. But beyond that, and I know some people don't love this idea, it's $137 million, and it's the number one pick in the draft or one of the top three picks in the draft in every round again. It's an offseason where, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your viewpoint, you have to put your faith in Elliott Wolf in the front office to really make massive strides this offseason.
Yeah, so actually, if anything, you have to go back to what Gerard Mayo said back in the spring, which is just preaching patience.
Absolutely. I think he has been relatively forthcoming with the idea that this was a multi-year plan, right? Like, we're going to win games. Now, I don't know whether that's this year or next. He was being honest. People didn't really pay attention. He told you that there might be a year's wait before you start winning games. And I also don't think that is unrealistic. If they do their jobs well in the coming offseason, I think next year at this time, we could be having very different conversations about how many games are winnable and how they're playing in games. But again, that all hinges on your faith and the ability in Elliott Wolf to do his job.
That's exactly what it all hinges on. And obviously they have a lot of faith in him. We should have some faith in him as well, but obviously things have not. Well, we still have our questions about everything from the offensive coordinator to the offensive line to the depth around the team as well. So, Andy, as we head into this week, and by the way, in case people didn't, the highlight of which is actually popping up back on my television right now, the Cincinnati-Cleveland game, which Cincinnati just picked off Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Dorian Robinson-Thompson or DRT or TDB. It's 14-6 right now, Cincinnati. That is because the backup quarterback is in the game following what looks like a season-ending Achilles rupture injury for Deshaun Watson. That, you don't want to see anyone get hurt severely. You don't want to see anyone have to go through the tortures of something like Achilles rehab. But for Cleveland, basically unwilling to bench their quarterback, who they have been very unhappy with for quite some time now, a contract they definitely have wanted to get out from under. I don't know anything about the injury provisions and whatnot. Andy, that kind of makes me think that that's the last time you'll see Deshaun Watson playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, maybe. I mean, they're on the books. The reality is, I believe it's $170 million guaranteed that if they cut him, they would have an immediate cap hit. They almost can't do it. It would have to be spread over multiple years of $85 million cap hits or whatever. But if you're a believer in karma, this is probably something you're like, okay, there is some right in this world. If you're a believer that Deshaun Watson did some pretty bad things for a long period of time to a lot of people and somehow got traded and got a guaranteed contract, and you're like, where's justice in this world? Mm-hmm. Well, he's been a terrible football player for multiple years now, which I have to think weighs on him if he cares at all about it, which I think he does. Mm-hmm. And now karma comes up on him and says, you know what? The Browns fans don't deserve to have to watch you play. So you're going to get hurt now in on top of sucking. So I feel like this is a victory for karma. This feels like a karma victory.
Hey, his 2024 cap hit, it's just brutal. What an awful situation. I cannot believe Browns ownership did that to those fans, making them have to watch this alleged. I mean, he's like the whole thing that
and
he's.
Guess where the quarterback they replaced is now? On top of the world in Florida.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield having himself a nice time. Yeah, let's see. The cap hit next year, Andy, for 2025 cap hit for Deshaun Watson is $73 million.
Yeah.
And the 2026 cap hit for Deshaun Watson is $73 million.
Right. And I think there's some other dead money in there because of a reworking for this year's deal. Yeah. I believe the number, if they cut him right now, would be $170 million in dead cap hits.
Holy God.
It's crazy. But,
you get the world you deserve.
Right. They got desperate, and they got in bed with Deshaun Watson, and they did a dirty deal and did a dirty deed. And, you know, everybody's going to pay the piper in the end somewhere along the line. It seems like both sides are going to have to do that, everybody involved.
So what do we think as we – well, first let's go through our thumbs up, thumbs down, and then we'll get into the broader view. Let's get into our broader view topics of the week in Pats Nation. Andy, there had to have been a couple people who put forth a qualified effort or at least merited a thumbs up from the old jumbo. Who do you got?
So, obviously, Drake May, I thought, played pretty well. I thought he threw the ball relatively well, avoided any big mistakes, threw a couple touchdown passes, didn't throw the interceptions, missed some throws. I'm not saying it was perfect, but he's a young player. There is work to be done, but I think Drake May deserves to be on the up list for this performance. Hunter Henry with a qualifier. You got to take away the penalty because, again,
it's a bad penalty.
What are you doing? It's a concentration penalty. I don't know how he did it, but he caught the ball well, made some plays down the field. I thought he had a really, really nice day catching the football and getting open for his rookie quarterback. And then I'm stretching a little here. The number one pick is on the thumbs up list because if you wanted the number one pick, you're a step closer to the number one pick. Because I don't have much else. I mean, Zoe Sly could be on there. He hits his field goal on what was, the potential for a slippery turf based on what we saw.
Some people slipping and sliding pregame.
Yeah. So give him credit for hitting his field goal. But they're few and far between. I just there weren't a lot of other performances I really enjoyed. One thing I like, Ben Brown. Seems to be bringing a certain energy to the offensive line that I kind of like. Saw him celebrating the Drake May run for a first down early, like pointing and bringing energy. I also saw him hitting people when people were trying to take shots at his quarterback. Mm-hmm. I like the little bits I've seen of Ben Brown. It's not great that you have to get a guy off waivers to become one of your starters and better offensive linemen, but Ben Brown, I like his attitude and his effort and his energy that he's bringing to the job. Okay, let's get to the thumb down list. In general, anything that involved the runs, it's always thumbs down, Andy. But
come on.
The run game on offense stinks. The run game on defense stinks. And whatever was going on with DeMario Douglas being sick and dealing with vomiting and issues on his end, because some of us may have had a parlay that involved DeMario Douglas over on catches and yards, and we thought we were well on our way on the first drive when he got a couple early catches. He's motioning. He's doing the orbit motion, and you're like, wow, they're putting Pop in the center of the offense. And then he was sick the rest of the day. No fault of his own. But so, yeah, the run defense, the run offense, you stink. Penalties continue to be a major problem for this football team. I know Mike Reese was like, they were the fewest in the NFL, taking Gerard Mayo's words, from the first 3 weeks, I think, maybe 4 weeks. And in the last 3 weeks, it's been pitiful, pitiful. Seven more penalties today. Injuries, the Laden Robinson injury is definitely on the thumbs down list. You don't have enough offensive linemen. You need him out there. We talked about it. Jalen Polk, you are absolutely on the down list. I don't know what you're doing. You can't catch the ball. You seem to be having missteps with your mouth, missteps with your hands, missteps with your fingers on social media. He needs to step away. He needs a little time out, a little time off. And I would put pretty much the entire team on the down list with Gerard Mayo. And, oh, by the way, the entire coaching staff, because if the culture stinks and you're not getting the effort you need and the play calling wasn't great after the first drive, I liked what they did early, but Alex Van Pelt, then you got back to your old ways of like, we're just going to run it into the middle of the line and, be second down here with nothing to show for it. So the coaches and players in totality, basically, y'all on the thumbs down list because y'all fell on your face against a 1-5 football team that I do believe may have been preparing to fire their head coach. You were the get right team, and I saw somebody put it on Twitter. Patriots are becoming the get right team for everybody, which is why I don't assume, you might beat the Tennessee Titans. No, you're a get right team. They'll probably get right against you.
So now I'm going to thank you for that, Andy. I want to ask out loud, now that you saw your team, to you and to the fans in just the last couple of minutes here of the show, maybe we can sneak in one more call. But now that you saw your team falter and just fall flat on their face, sadly, on a huge international stage in what a lot of us had built up to be not a get right game, but a potential showcase game, maybe the best game for your team to, rock out with the ball out and throw some touchdown passes and show everybody your fancy new rookie quarterback and maybe get the offense in gear. Just build a little positive momentum because losing obviously begets losing. And look at the hole the team is falling into now. Do you really want to see this team win another game the rest of the year?
I don't. I want the number one pick. Now, the only way I'd want them to win another game is if they can keep the number one pick. I want you to have the number one pick. So if you want to start scoreboard watching in like Carolina and Cleveland and these other places, that's fine. You can win then once the win won't hurt you. But I want the number one pick. I want desperate Cleveland trading with me to get a quarterback. I want desperate Carolina trading with me to get a quarterback. I want desperate teams giving me multiple first round picks so I can jumpstart my rebuild with the tackle I'll probably get trading down a couple spots, but then additional first round picks, and maybe I use that on a wide receiver, or maybe I trade that pick for a wide receiver. I just, to jumpstart this rebuild, no, I don't see the point in winning a football game.
What do you think what's the lead talker this week? So, you know, we got a lot of, is it going to just be
coaching?
Mayo is already, it's going to have
it's
to be
absolutely coaching.
Right?
Alex Van Pelt, Jerod Mayo, hot seat talk, over their heads talk, bad culture talk. Jerod Mayo shouldn't have even been the coach. We're already seeing it online. Mike Vrabel's name is resurfacing yet again. Robert Kraft. How do you make a decision about a guy 5 years ago before he's ever coached a single NFL game? The decision to put it in writing, which may have adversely not only affected the team now, but maybe the end of the Bill Belichick era, because clearly Bill didn't like that when he was aware that Jerod was the coach in waiting. Pretty much everything I think this week is going to revolve around coaching, the coaching staff, the questions I've been asking about Alex Van Pelt. Can you keep him around, bring somebody in above him? Hey, play calling, where's that going to go? Defensive play calling, because I feel like DeMarcus Covington kind of skates at times. The defense has been putrid. The defense was supposed to be better. DeMarcus Covington was supposed to be better, and they have not been good enough. So you're going to hear everything. Mayo, Van Pelt, Belichick, Covington, the whole thing, Vrabel. It's all about coaching this week, no doubt in my mind.
It has to be. Like we talked about earlier in the show, you're going to see the stress on the face of Jerod Mayo. He can't call his team. Like, he's already tried to say, I'm going to have to shake up the lineup. You know, how many times can he basically turn around in the car and say, don't make me come back there without actually pulling up? Don't make me pull over. It might be time to pull over and go back there now at this point. And then you have to wonder, is that going to make him just say, like, Robert, I don't know if I have the stomach for this. This is worse than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. That's the one. That's the only – I still – as bad as you may think this is, as bad as fans may think this is, I can't envision Robert Kraft firing Jerod Mayo after this season. But I could envision him saying, I'm in over my head. I don't want to do this. This isn't fun. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. I wasn't ready. However you want to do it, you never know, right? Like guys, even guys that are experienced coaches. Remember Bobby Petrino ran out on the Falcons in the
13 games
season.
In.
Right. And I think if Mayo ever had those thoughts, he would do it properly. He wouldn't run out on his team. I think Petrino didn't even call a team meeting. He left a note and everybody.
I think he got on like a motorcycle and literally just rode out of town.
Yeah, with a volleyball player, co-ed. Oh, is that two different scandals I'm confusing? Hey, now. No, I don't think Jerod would do that. But it's okay for people to realize, you know, I've made a terrible decision. This isn't for me. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. That's the only way I see Mayo being out. The rest of it, Jerod Mayo, in his introductory press conference of his staff, said there could be changes between now and next year. I may have to tweak some things. So I don't rule out changes on his staff because if you go 1-16 or even 2-15, whatever, if you have that horrific a season for a coach who, by the way, guaranteed more wins, and that's going to be a struggle to achieve that. To get to 5 wins this year, 4 more wins is going to be tough to find the rest of the season. There's going to be changes. There has to be changes. I don't see any way you can keep status quo going into 2025 if this team doesn't win again.
No, because status quo is going to end up becoming status woo.
Oh,
if you know what I'm
terrible.
Talking about. You know what? Actually, I'm just tired. I'm ready.
I noticed. You ran out of gas like the last 10 minutes. I could hear it in your voice.
In the middle of this segment, I just sort of started petering out. What do you mean,
J-word? What happened? You pulled a Tangway.
No, I stopped drinking Diet Pepsi because I ended up getting too gassed up.
The caffeine ran out.
See,
and the
I got a long ride home, yeah. So I'm trying to make sure I space out the caffeination so I don't peak too early. And
Jesus.
It's a whole process. Listen,
you weren't as
some
bad
as
the Patriots.
If we were as bad, actually, I was going to say, we had like three and a half quarters of energy today. They had a good quarter today.
Well, don't say way. I could go for hours and hours. I am all night. I can do it all night.
Listen to this guy. All right. Time now for, obviously, the WEI Six Rings Postgame Show Player of the Game, brought to you by Cars for Kids, is Andy Hart, because he can just go on and on. We're going to award it to somebody who was on the field. The Player of the Game is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Andrew, who do you got?
It's got to be Drake May, because there's no other opportunity for anybody else to win this award after a performance like that. So Drake May, 2 weeks into his career, Player of the Game, and by the way, 5 touchdown passes in 2 games. Not bad.
Not too shabby.
I think someone pointed out on Twitter, it's only one less than Pat Mahomes.
One less than Dan Marino.
How about over 2 games? Mahomes, just in general on the season, I think.
Yeah, but Dan Marino is the only quarterback who had 6 touchdown passes, 3 each in his first 2 NFL starts. So not too shabby that you're chasing Dan.
I don't think that Drake May is going to be buying his offensive linemen any Isotoner gloves, because he's not even going to know the names of them by the end of the season.
Should buy gloves for Polk.
All right, now you're done, too. Go get your freaking wings, would you? Good job by you. He's at Jumbo Heart. You can listen to him each and every day on the WEEI Afternoon Show with our pal Christian Arcan. If you liked the show today, as always, congratulate Joe. If you didn't, blame Braverman. Amazing work behind the glass on the ones and the twos from Joe Braverman. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show after the Patriots lose in London to the Jaguars. 32-16. It's a WEEI Patriots Monday tomorrow from 6A to 6P, and I'll be on in the evening with Mego from 6 to 7:30 to give you that extra little bit of Patriots analysis you want and need. Been a pleasure serving you today, folks. Thanks very much. Come on again sometime. The final, once again, Jags 32, Pat 16. Enjoy the rest of your football Sunday, everyone.
See you.